Praise the Lord. All right, I have a number of questions here. I'll just rush through them. Some of them, I don't really know the answer the person expects. Somebody said, sir, I think Jesus said he came. They said we should come with our burdens and he will give us rest. Yes, I agree with you 100%. I don't get the question there. Is it because I said that suffering is part of about the Christian thing? That's what I want to assume. That's not contradictory. It's not contradicting. He said, come with your own bodies. He said, take my own yoke. You understand? So you come with your own, he gives you rest. Then he gives you his own to carry. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The reason is that he gives you the capacity to carry what he's giving you. A lot of people are burdened. A woman was burdened, bent over for 12 years because of Satan. People are bound by Satan. One woman had the issue of blood. One man was born blind. One man had not walked for maybe 38 years. He was lying beside the pool of Siloam. All those are the burdens of the devil, of the enemy. You understand? You bring those things to the Lord Jesus, he gives you rest from them. Then he now gives you his own yoke. His own yoke is not like that. It's actually the yoke of which you join him in saving the rest of mankind. That's the yoke of Jesus. It's as you join him in saving the rest of mankind. It is not as if he wants to punish you. I explained something earlier about suffering. That young woman I gave as an example, a true story. All right? In other words, peace is what God gives us. In that rural village where she was, all right, blessing people. God actually dropped peace in her heart. And she was enjoying herself. Yes, she did not have a car there. She was not earning big money. She didn't have a big house. But that place, oh, it was good for her. How else do you know a place is good more than you are touching lives? How else do you know a place is good more than you are transforming people by the work that you are doing? But the world now came to her and said, that's not good enough. You need money. You need a better income. So yes, indeed, Jesus came to give us rest. But he didn't say that we will not have work to do for him. The rest of God is different from the rest of man. When God gives somebody rest, they cease from their own labors. Do you understand? That's how it is. All right. Somebody said, can you please expand on why you say Africa is cursed? You know they see the way Africa be? What else do you need to know? If it's the practical manifestation, it is clear. If you're talking about the spiritual origin, Noah said it. Cursed be, I don't have time to explain it in details now, but Noah said, cursed be Ham. A servant of servants will he be. Now, if you read your Bible, you see cursed be Canaan. But you see, if you know the way spiritual principles are, Ham had a number of sons. One of them was Canaan. Ham was the one that sinned. You don't curse the son because a man sinned. It's just that the curses go from one generation to another. So that curse was upon all the children. And that's where that began from. All right? But as for the manifestation, you don't need to be told. You can see it. Most of the countries in the continent are considered developing, which is a nice way of saying not developed. And there's not one that's run by this race of people that's considered a developed country. Miles Monroe claimed that Bahamas was one country that was considered a developed country, all right, civilized and all of that, and that their constitution was written on the template of the Bible. The Bible is as a foundation for their soul. That is the life of Christ that developed them like that. So no, it's clear. I mean, you don't need to be told that. That is obvious to all of us. Why do you think Donald Trump gave them a name? Right, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord is good. So do I have to give up my ambitions and pursuits and wait for a special directive from God? No. Now, when I say no, I mean like this. If you listen to my messages, I have different ones on how to wait for God. I explain that. Do you have to give up your ambitions? I will say yes. Your pursuit, no. So what's the difference? The difference is, hey, I want to be president. I want to be this. I want to be that. That's ambition. Okay? But what is the pursuit? I'm going to be a good politician today. You don't give that up. Forget the other one. God can do it. He does what he wants to do. But whatever you have to do today, you must pursue it diligently. Yes, Christians are not allowed to be lazy. Let me just say that. Waiting for God is not, I wake up in the morning and sit down and say, Lord, what will the Lord send me to do today? No, this is how you wait for God. Yesterday, you went to work. This morning, there's no new direction, nothing special happening. Go back to that same work and continue doing that work. Do you get the point? Laziness is not the will of God. Anybody say, what are you doing? Why are you not doing anything? I'm waiting for God. Then this is not how to wait for him. Those he called, all of them he called and they were busy. Even the ones doing bad things were busy doing bad things. Matthew was cheating people of their tax. Paul was persecuting somebody. He didn't sit at home. I'm telling you the truth. The guy was busy persecuting. He got up, said, today we are persecuting the Christians. Jesus met him on the way. I have a feeling he was in Jerusalem, sitting down, not caring what was going on. Jesus said, this guy is not serious. But the little he knew, Paul was running with it. He wasn't a bad person per se. He just thought that, in his own opinion, these Christians are causing problems. Let's end the problems. So he put his energy into ending the problems. And Jesus now stopped him. Laziness and Christianity are two different religions. You understand? What did I say? There are two different religions, right? I've seen a lot of jokers be hiding behind and waiting for God, doing nothing. Even Paul called an apostle. With all his calling, when he got to some places, he was preaching there. He got to Ephesus day and night. 3 years he was ministering. So you know what he used to do? In the afternoon, he'd go and walk, make tents, return at night to go and continue ministry. I did that for a number of reasons. One, he wanted to teach other people how to walk. And two, he didn't want people to think that this new, in quote, religion they were bringing is one of those religions where the priests are layabout. That's what I'm trying to do. He didn't say that, hey, every preacher must be like that. He said, but look, let me give you an example. So for that reason, he did not depend on their offerings, their gifts. And man must work. Do you understand? You know what they call man must work? Oh, those of you who don't speak that kind of English, let me explain it to you. A man must imbibe nutrition. So he got up and went to imbibe his nutrition by doing something he could trade for money. That was his skill in tent making. Okay? So no, it's not as if you one will say that. Just like it is a mindset you have. I said something yesterday and I believe it. People say you go and learn how to hear what God is saying. No. When God wants to talk, especially, he will. Can anybody learn how to dream? So I need to hear God. Let me go and dream. You tell your wife, can you increase the size of the pounded yam? Now you finish, put one bottle of stout. When you finish eating, you say, anytime I eat like this, I did dream. If you try that one, any dream you have is of the devil. We can't force ourselves to dream. We can't force ourselves to see visions. And we cannot force ourselves to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's none of these things that can be forced. God does them when he wants them. So what are we supposed to do? Obey the one that he has revealed to everybody, recorded in scriptures. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it properly. Any door he opens for you that looks good, step into the door. There are times people are at home. They're not doing anything. No. A man is at home, morning, afternoon, and night. He has a wife and children. They said, boy, you are very good with photography. I have a camera. Let's be going around weddings and taking pictures. Then we'll be hired by the groom and the bride. And the man say, God has not spoken to me to do that. Hunger the day. Are you getting my point? Hunger is there regularly. Children are complaining, there's no food. school fees, you know, will be due in the next few weeks. And you're a skilled photographer, and the man says, see camera. Go and let's go. I will link you with these people. You'll be covering their weddings. Say, let me pray whether the Lord wants me to do that. I mean, those are the kind of things Christians turn spirituality to. You look at them and you'll be saying that, Lord, can I have your cane? Let me help you flog somebody. There are people that, if you see any Christian like that, don't give him anything to eat. If he's hungry, if you are eating, you can see his mouth dry. Hunger won't finish him like this. Eh? And you have two wraps of gala in your hand. And it's big bottle. You know, big, you know, that's, how many CL is that big Coke?
1.5 liters.
Let's even say it's 1.5. Even if it's 1.5. They drink like this. Chop one. I say, but how now? You'll be looking at the second girl like that. Ah, this is, you're a man of God. You will release it. When you finish the first one, squeeze the wrap like this. Throw it for dustbin. Then open the second one. You know the way we open gala. Knock it like that to shoot out of the eye. Bite it. Drink it. When you finish, you know, by the time you finish half of that bottle, your stomach will be full. Cap it and hold it like this. Say, we'll go see later. Or can't come out. Say, bro, what did happen? Say, can I have some of your coke? Say, God forbids that I should give it to you. The person said, a young man came to his house and asked him, said they were about to eat. So the young man sat down there, waiting for them to serve food. So the person just sat there, was talking with the boy. After some time, the guy said, I thought you wanted to have your lunch. The person said, yes, I'm waiting for you to go. The young man said, I was hoping I could join you. The person said, the Bible forbids me to give you food. You are lazy. He told him straight, I'm not giving you food. You're a lazy man. You don't like to walk. Come and start going. Once you leave, I close the door. I'll go and eat. He opened the door for the young man. The young man could not believe it. He thought, you know, Christianity. He allowed him to go, close the door, went and ate. The young man came back many months later. Good afternoon, sir. I want to eat today. He said, why? I have a job now. He said, good. Come and sit down. Let us eat. No, yeah, don't allow idleness. No, that's not Christianity. How does God speak to us, especially when we ask him questions? Please read the book, Guided by the Spirit. Yes, we have copies there. If you are the online person and you don't want to read it on paper, go to our website and download it. We don't charge for the downloads. All right, it's a long one. But what I can just say is that, one, it gives you, number one and most important way he leads is to give you understanding. It gives you insight. He teaches you truth. That's number one thing he does for you. Okay? And there are many other manifestations that may be special. Okay? So can God be angry with you if you're a member of a particular denomination and you, by your understanding of scriptures, choose not to go by the doctrines of the denominations? I like that question. I'm going to answer it. And I'm going to answer it this way. First, you must have, every Christian must avoid an arrogant spirit. You must. You must try yourself to be as agreeable as possible. But while saying this, you must never disagree with the Word of God. Now, what do I mean by that? There are some things that are trivial. If in your church, they say every man must come to church with red tie. The Bible didn't say it is wrong. Some people say, show me the Bible where it is written that I should wear a red tie. The Bible didn't say so. It's an irrelevant point. So just wear the red tie and let there be peace. If the Bible says everybody must be here by 8 o'clock, then let's be there by 8 o'clock. You understand? The scriptures didn't say. There are some little things that are not weighty. It's the discipline of the denomination, not a problem. If you don't like them, like if you're in a church and they say that if you're a worker in this church, your January salary must be complete as first fruit. Well, if you notice what they said, what did they say? If you are a worker, it is the law of the church, not the law of God.
So you choose whether you want to remain a worker or you don't want to. If you think the burdens they place on workers in the church is too much, resign from workmanship, Abby. Just joking with that English. Resign from working. Just be a regular member. Volunteer for things you can volunteer for. But the title worker, tell them I don't like it. Why? I can't give you my whole January salary. Why? I have to eat in February. No, we fight. Say, what if God didn't say it? Let's leave that thing. That January salary, everything will collect first fruits. If anybody say God said, the person is lying. God never said it. It is not Christianity. But I can be the pastor of a church and say, all the workers in this church, my spirit says your whole general salary must come in as first fruit. Eh? It's not the word of God, it's the word of pastor. So if I want to align with him, I give him the whole general salary. If I don't like it, I tell God, I'm sorry, I'm not working again. I'll just remain a member. But I cannot be a worker and be disobedient. I can't. That's the balance we Christians have to realize. There are some things that are trivial. But on major issues, Paul said, Yusuf, that's Peter and Co. He said, Yusuf, judge yourself. Just for yourself. He told the elders, should we obey man or obey God? Once man and God are conflicting, you know where the allegiance is. And what do you mean by God? The word. Is the word. So once the doctrines are against the word of God, there are some things that are trivial. You know, they are not big. And then again, you have to know your own level in life. And when I say level now, I don't know whether you are big or small. Just know what you represent. For example, what I represent now, if I travel to a new city and they say to be a worker in this church, you must tithe, I will not give you a dime as tithe. I will give all my offerings anonymously and I won't call it a tithe. Why? You must not quote that Pastor Banky tithes. Because when you do that, you create a wrong impression amongst those who follow me, my teachings. But if I was just a regular businessman and all of that, and I like your church and I was going to give you the money anyway, I can call it a tithe and give it to you. It can be 10%, it can be more. Not a problem. Say, will it make you happy? I write tight on it. I used to do those days when I just left school. I write tight on it and give it to you. I drop in the offering basket. Have you paid your tithe? Yes, I have. It was in the offering basket this morning. I'm not a doctrine person. We're not quarreling. I leave it. I don't worry much about it. But today, the person I am now, I must not go on record. Because every one of my actions make a statement now. Why? I'm a teacher and a known one in the body of Christ. So I'm careful what I do. Sometimes I even tell my wife, one day I sat with my wife, I said, okay, sit down here. You are not Mrs. Olushino. You are Pastor Banky's wife. So anything you do now, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be recorded against that name. So just be careful. So sometimes I'm in the church, and maybe I'm just attending. They are saying one thing, I just carry my eye, go straight. Because people have this habit of checking what you are doing. So I'm careful not to do what people will wrongly interpret. Do you understand? Because now, I mean, my actions are used to judge doctrines and all of that. So if I don't believe what you are saying, I will not answer you. If you say, like now, assuming I go to Winners, and a man is preaching, and he says that, if your feet is not washed, you are not stepping into your inheritance. I'm going to go and dirty my feet while he's looking at me like this. And I won't let him touch my feet. What if he says that these feet will wash each other's feet as a sign of brotherhood? I'll remove my socks, wash his own feet, he washes my feet. We wash each other's feet, everybody's happy. But if he preach one powerful message that this man's feet were washed, after that his life changed. This one's feet were washed, after that he got married. Then God has said that if you don't wash your feet, you can never go anywhere in this life. Brothers, I will wear my shoe, I will go to my house. Do you understand my point? Because I know my actions are very important. Okay, so you have to also judge little things like that. So what I've said is this. One, in a church, try as much as possible to be agreeable. Bend when you can. Don't be rigid. Don't be stubborn. Don't be arrogant.
Don't be, I know more than everybody else. Especially when they are small things. Okay? But on major things, if it is clearly against scripture, like I see one they do these days, redeem your firstborn. I think it is a sin. I will not carry my firstborn to be redeemed. Lest God get angry with me and he sells my firstborn. You know, the redeem is the opposite of sell. Churches do it. You not heard of it before? Oh, I love you people here. Alanka, we are moving to Makodi. They have never heard of redemption of firstborn. You will soon hear of it. But I'm happy. I'm telling you ahead of it. Don't accept it. It's not scripture. You're not a Jew. I wonder, we were in the church. They preached powerfully on redemption of firstborn. So years ago. My wife is as crazy as I am. I mean, you can't marry me for a long time. I'm not tapping into these things. He will. So, they now went to the children's church and gathered all the children for redemption. When my wife dived their teacher, I said, give me my children. That is, she recovered her children, redeemed them herself quickly. Redeemed the children and kept them. I said, please, sir. Boys, you have been redeemed. What did I say? You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. So yeah, all of you go and sit down. You can't tell my children they need redemption now. They will tell you, redeemed. We've been redeemed by Jesus now. What is your problem? So things like that I will not accept. But I'm in a church, they said, today we are breaking generational curses. I'm sitting down there, I'm not going to answer you. I will not answer you. If you say, why are you not praying? I said, oh God, for me to pray, I have to agree that there's a generational curse in my life. Let me not use my mouth to send myself into trouble. That church service, I will not come. Even if I'm the head deacon, I am not coming. If you say I must come by force, I will resign that day. I beg you. As they say in Yoruba land, you know what it means? You go use shame, catch Ebola. Or is it Lassa fever now? They say, wash your hand, wear gloves. Say, no, the person will think I'm discriminating. Lassa fever. Think what you want to think, I beg. Four doctors are dead, I beg. You know this Lassa fever? His doctors is killing now. He's been killing doctors all over the place. One of them was my student self. Because I teach in UNN. He said, boy graduated in 2016. Went to Lokoja to go and do house job. The boy is dead. So somebody will not, I will now use, I don't want to offend you, to catch spiritual Lassa. Omo. They tell me that, look, I've seen people say that, we are going to redeem four generations. From what? The sin of four generations. I'm not coming to church that day. And if you do that constantly for 1 month, I'm not coming to the church again. Wait. Life is too short for me to be wasting spiritual time, please. So please, if it's like that, that's just my own, that's what I want to say. On major things, please. All right. I don't get this. Given the rise in numerous religions and houses, and truth flying in our present day. I don't perfectly understand. What I'm getting is, like, with all the churches all over the place, why are things not improving the way they are supposed to? I'll give you a simple answer. The number of churches and houses being opened doesn't matter. It's how people are adhering to the truth and preaching the truth, that is, preaching the truth and adhering to truth. That's what matters. So you really cannot tell how much God is there just because the number of religious houses are numerous. That's the simple answer I have to that. Okay, that's the simple answer I have for that. Well, I'm going to end with this. Well, I have two left here. I went to this issue of somebody said throw more light on fasting. I'll speak on that only for about 2 minutes. I would like you to check our collection of messages. There's a particular one, it's on our website, it's free. About 4 or 5 titled The Role of Fasting in the Life of a Believer, or in Prayer, something like that. The Role of Fasting in Prayer. Please go and listen to it. I can't teach all of those things. Now, just by the way, One of the things I wish to do with these seminars is just to stir up the thirst for knowledge in the hearts of the people of God. As a preacher, as a teacher of the word, my messages are on our website. And I just want people to go there and go and download them. You can listen to most of the topics that I know I teach on, and I hang the messages there free. You can download them anytime. Then, beyond my own messages, I like to share other people's, recommend other people's messages. I still recommend Derek Prince a lot when it comes to the issue of understanding the fundamentals of Christianity. He's a terrific teacher, terrific. I don't know, Israel, remind me whether we can, that compilation we did last time for them in Port Harcourt. You have a soft copy. Let's see whether we can bond them. And tomorrow, for those who can, you pay for them, but generally it's low price, maybe like 150 naira, and you contain like 50, 70 messages. That's how it is. I mean, is it up to 50? Is it DVD or? It's DVD, okay. It will probably be 200 or 300, but it's going to get, you have up to 100 messages, but they are not my messages. Those are David Paulson, Derek Prince, Kenneth Hagin, mostly. We just compile them, okay? You are just paying essentially for the material. And like I always say, you share it. There's a trick you can use. Say, I don't have too much money, no problem. Take your money, buy it, copy it away to your computer or your phone, then sell it to somebody else, collect your money back. Then if everybody does that in Makurdi, the whole town is full with the word for 300 naira. The next time you see Israel, say, I want to return that DVD. But I can assure you, it won't give you your money back. You know, I just want people to, I have it in my private collection. So sometimes, I'm not the only preacher. I learn from other people too. And I don't think God, after God gave me understanding, gave me a Bible, say, read it, don't listen to anybody else. All these your brothers, they don't know anything. There are pastors who behave like that. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. But no, if I do that, God will just carry me like this. One time, next time you see me, my mouth is bent, everything is very slapping from the Holy Spirit. Bua. You understand? So I don't do that. A lot of people taught me things, and some of them, I'm afraid to recommend some people because they see a lot of funny things, but I am able to decipher some truths. So I pull out their truth, but I won't recommend them because I fear them. But some people I feel very happy recommending. Doesn't mean I agree with them 100%. A man like Derek Prince and David Paulson, and another one like David Paulson, I listen to them a lot. But when it comes to the issue of Israel, we disagree a lot. We disagree very, very seriously. And I think I'm right and they are wrong. That's just the way I am. If I thought they were right, wouldn't I have changed? And so don't think I'm being arrogant. I've analyzed it. I keep on saying that their interpretation of the Israel matter does not put in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you do that, your understanding of prophecy is wrong. Because the spirit of Christ, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. The fulfillment of God's promises is in Christ. It's not in a physical land, it's in Christ. So until you show me how these prophecies pass through Christ and manifest some of these things you guys are saying, I can't accept them. I believe that Christ was the primary object. Israel as a nation was a means to the end. And that's why Jesus said it is finished. And it came as Christ. One man said that there's nowhere in the New Testament that the church was called Israel. I said it's not true. Paul said, peace be upon the Israel of God. And he was talking about the church. He said, we are the circumcision who worship in the spirit and have no confidence in what's happening in the flesh. So we are the circumcision. What does that mean? The church is modern day Israel. People say, no, it's called replacement theology. Give it any name you like. It's the word of God. So I'm just trying to say that. So you see, sometimes I disagree with some people on some issues, but we should be able to disagree. I've married my wife for 18 years now, and sometimes when I say some things, it's by faith she will not argue. Do you get my point? So what is the big deal? So how much more another preacher? You can disagree on a few things. So that's why I recommend preachers. Some of the things I preach is different from what Ken Hagin preaches. But I learned what he said first. And if I cannot go beyond that level, I'm not a good student. Do you understand? He taught me the fundamentals of the faith. 1985, I started listening to him. 86. Until today, the man blesses me tremendously. You understand? So please, that's, I recommend him. You may find he'll say something slightly different. I have no problem with that. You may hear something he said that is different from what I said and will seem to disagree. Don't worry about it. Listen to every other thing.
even the area that we seem to disagree, agree with him or disagree with me, don't worry, I won't be angry. You understand? Because eventually, if I am right, you evolve to that level also. But the spirit is the same. The spirit is one. So that's why I recommend a lot of people. Okay, please. If you know you are not a true Christian if you are not a disciple. And a disciple is a student. The people called Christians in the Bible are the disciples. Not those who answered an altar call. Or who their father was a Christian, their mothers were Christians. No. It is your being a disciple that makes you a Christian. Who's a disciple? A constant student. A student. So if you're always studying the word of God, that's when you're a student. If you're not studying God's word, you're not a disciple. And that means you're not a Christian. Just imagine that you are saved. Meanwhile, you are not. A lot of people think they are saved, but they are not. You know that? When I said, some people say, are you saying salvation is by works? I said, no, go and see Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord. That's not what he said. When people are going to just say Lord, Lord, Jesus said, I don't know that guy. All right, so let me just answer these two and then we'll be done. Where's the second one? The prophecy of Joel shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Is it coming to pass every day? Every day is coming to pass. Are we in the last days? Ever since Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. That's one thing you must understand about the Bible. Once he rose up and went to heaven, from that day till now it's called last days. People think that last day started in 1975. No. Once Jesus rose up and ascended to heaven, from that day till now, it's called the last days. And you know, many of the prophets, please, there's a book I want to reread. I know I have the book, I just am not sure which one of them, by Rick Joyner, about prophecies. Many of the prophecies in the book of Revelation have been fulfilled, but Christians are still waiting for it to be fulfilled later. Last days began long ago. After all, Peter said it. This is he that was spoken, that in the last days I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Is that not so? And he was saying it shortly after Jesus ascended to heaven. So it is being fulfilled every day. But one other part of it you must never forget is that the fact that you can carry your Bible in every device is part of that prophecy. The fact that the word of God is available to you, every device, your phone, your tab, your computer, and paper Bibles, believe me, it's part of it. If you have this magazine we have now, you see a column, Church History, the Tyndale Bible. Read it. You will know that there was a time, for 300 years, it was a sin against the church, punishable by death, to carry a Bible written in English. The church will hang you. So now that you can have it in your local language, it's a fulfillment of that prophecy also. And for that reason, young people are having visions. Old men are still dreaming dreams. And there are personal experiences about it. I was telling you about Scribe Masiyiwa. What he's doing now, he used to dream about those things. Visions of the night, the Bible calls those dreams. I've had personal experiences with some things. People will call and say, look, this is what the Lord said in the vision. So it's happening, it's happening. We just need to get used to them and open our hearts to them when they happen. Last bit, somebody threw light on fasting. Like I said, okay, yes, please get this series. Okay, I really can't say much about it. I said, spend 2 minutes. Fasting is not about hunger. It's about focusing on the word of God. Let me say this one. Anytime I say people think, but I believe it. They think that I'm joking. I'm not joking. I say, if you are fasting and your stomach starts turning and you're very, very hungry. Oh, your stomach is spinning you. Or you say, I'm fasting, so you will not eat. I say, no, this is the best way to continue the fast. Get up. Go to the fridge. Pour yourself half cup of juice, pour water inside it. If you see one slice of bread, collect it, eat it, drink the juice, then go back to the fast. It has not ended. You have just cast out a small demon that's trying to disturb. People are going to say that, what do you mean? Is that a fast? Yes, it is a fast. You're not a Hindu, you're a Christian. What are you trying to achieve? You want to punish the flesh? That's not Christianity. What's the fast of Christianity? Is focus on the word of God. Now, which one helps you to focus more? Let's face it. Fighting the hunger and say, in Jesus' name, you will not disturb me. Or taking a glass of juice and pouring water inside it, drinking it, eating a slice of bread, drinking a second glass of juice, then go back. Why that one? It won't weigh you down. It won't remove oxygen from your brain. The one that I find very ridiculous, the man tells me he's fasting. The woman says she's fasting. Have you eaten this morning? No, I'm fasting.
The person is in the bathroom, bathing. Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Come on, dress up, make up, dress, everything. Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Car keys, enter the car. Where are you going? I'm going to work. Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Then you drive up to the office. Welcome, madam. Oh, good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Board meeting from 8 o'clock till 2 o'clock. Are you going to serve drinks during the board meeting? Are you going to eat? No, I'm fasting. Then from 3 o'clock, another meeting in the office. Work. Find this document, do everything. Finish that one by 4:35. Enter that same car. Drive back to her home. Say, oh, we have church. You go to church by 5. And then praise, worship, prayer, everything till 6:30. Now go home and break the fast. Trust me, people of God, that is a joke. What did I call it? You did not fast. You were hungry. You will lose weight quite all right. We thank God for that. But you were not fasting. You've been walking since 8 o'clock till 5. Not an hour to take aside, study your scripture, tell me you are fasting. You ain't fasting. Let me tell you how to do it as a Christian. What is a fast? Time taken aside to seek the face of the Lord. We seek the face of the Lord in study of scriptures and in prayer. So if you want to fast, it's simple. You say, first, you take a leave. If it's your business, say, okay, guys, this week, I'm not resuming work till 12 o'clock. Wake up, go to bed early. Wake up at 4 a.m. Go into the bathroom, have a bath, so as to wake yourself up. Then start praying, studying the scriptures, listening to messages till 10. If you do that from 4 to 10, that's how many hours? 6 good hours. After that, eat breakfast, dress up, and go to work. You will have, in fact, Holy Spirit will be waiting for you tomorrow morning. That is a fast. It's not how long you've been hungry that God is checking. Go and check it. Jesus was not hungry. 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was not hungry. Was he? The Bible says after the hunger started. And as people say, I'm going on 60 days, so I always laugh. It's not in the Bible. 40 days is not even in the Bible. Jesus didn't do 40 days the way you are doing it. First day, hunger won't kill you. Second day, doctor is checking whether you have ulcer. You should know that. You should know they are not fasting, no. So what about Moses? Let me tell you the truth. If you to go to the presence of God, you are in heavenly clouds for 40 days. The earth loses meaning. You are feeding by the glory of God directly. His flesh was responding to God's presence. When he came back, he was still radiating it. If you have that experience, nobody needs to tell you not to eat. They're not eating there. And as for Elijah, if they give you that kind of apu and opa, for controlled release, you said you won't be hungry. Elijah jogged for 40 days without eating any other thing. That tells not fast. The guy was not fasting. They loaded the guy with something. The Bible calls it the food of angels. The kind of thing used to fly across the universe. The guy ate it. For 40 days he was moving. It's radioactive food. You get that? Hey, people of God, if you want to fast, first thing you do, go and read Isaiah 58. You change your ways. Make sure everything you are doing aligns with what God said. If you say you want to seek the face of God, then you must be ministering to God while you are fasting. You can't be ministering to Federal Ministry of Health, Federal Ministry of Works, and you say you are fasting just because you have not eaten. No. There must be time taken aside. If you are walking, you are using the flesh, please put something inside the flesh. Do you understand my point? If you are walking and you are using the flesh, please put something inside the flesh, which is called food. If you are a banker, don't go to work, say I'm fasting, did not eat. You will count somebody's money wrongly. When you are going, say I'm fasting, no problem. They will not give me leave. Then wake up at, go to bed early. I can wake up by 3, 4, 2 hours in the morning before the rest of the house starts waking up. Taking scriptures, don't sit down because you fall asleep. Don't lie down, pace up and down. Bible is in your hand, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Leads me the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now I need to make a decision. Lord, what is the right thing to do? I understand that promotion does not come from the east, does not come from the west. But God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. Not from the south does it come. It comes only from God. You'll be the one to lift me up. I'm not doing this because I'm looking for promotion, but because it's the right thing to do. Teach me your ways. Set my path right before you in the name of Jesus. We talk like that for 1 hour. For one hour. Bros. That's what they call a fast. And everybody wakes up at 6 o'clock, you're done for the day. Eat a breakfast before you go and count somebody's money wrongly. Before I inject somebody's down the throat instead of into his vein. Do you understand? You're going to hospital, you're a nurse. Say, we are fasting at my church. Take blood pressure. Your own blood pressure self needs to be recorded. We are not Hindus, though. We are Christians. Let's rise to our feet to pray. Let us go. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let us say, Father, we thank you. Let's thank him. Say, Father, thank you for understanding. Thank you for insight. Say, Lord, make me a missionary. I want to carry your truth everywhere I live. I want to teach my neighbors. I want to teach my church folk. I want to teach people around me. Anoint me, make me a teacher of righteousness. Pray that prayer. I want to pray more in the evening. Lord, make me a teacher of righteousness. Give me the Spirit. Let the Spirit enter into me and set me on my feet. Give me ability to spread righteousness. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Now, let's share the grace in fellowship the way we do. Please open your magazines. It's somewhere towards the end, page 11. Just go to the back and flip over. That's how we share the grace. Are we ready? Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please bless somebody on your left or your right. Say, this is your season. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of.